Good afternoon, listeners. This is Federica Brandy on the air on our new show, So Did You Hear? It's been a couple weeks since I've been on the air with you guys, and I think this is actually our first live show. So, it feels really good to be back on the air and be here with you guys today. So, I have another really interesting guest on the air with us today, and just to backtrack, it is part of our Women's History Month series, since March is Women's History Month. And so we have another lovely guest who has a lot of interesting stories and facts to tell us today related to women's history and women leaders in our community. And without further ado, I will introduce you. I'm here with Ann Murphy, who is the co-president of the League of Women Voters, Spokane chapter. And without further ado, let's get into it. Ann, thank you for being on the air with me today. I am glad you kind of made it last minute. I know I just reached out to Ann a couple days ago, and she agreed to come on the air and share her story with us. So I appreciate you being here.
Oh, it's great to be here, Federica.
Yes, awesome. So yeah, just take it away. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what brings you to where you are today. Tell us a little bit about the work you do with the League of Women Voters and, why you do the work you do.
Why we do the things we do, and that is a really important thing. And with the League of Women Voters, of course, and thank you for noting this as part of Women's History Month, because the League has been around. We just celebrated our 101st birthday in February, and thankfully, I have not been part of it that long. But I did grow up in a League household, and so League of Women Voters was always being talked about, and I've been a member here of the Spokane League since 1982, and have been through various things with the League here, and have found it to be what's so important is helping bring that. It goes back to the mission statement of the organization, the defending democracy, empowering voters, and the League being about voting rights and making sure people have the access to the ballot to vote. And so the work of our local League, as well as our state League and the National League, are centered around that as a priority, and which I find really important for people to be involved in the government that we experience every day aspects of what the government is doing for us. And so we need to be part of that process.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of civic engagement.
Absolutely. Definitely. Yes. Civic engagement. And, of course, trying to cover some ground and get back to civics education that was not got dropped out of our school curriculums for a while, and we now have that back in Washington. The League was instrumental in getting civics back into curriculums, and a couple of years ago the bill was passed to make civics a graduation requirement, half credit standalone class. So, and we've got great programs going on here in the Spokane area. And our local League has spent the last several years working quite closely with Spokane Public Schools in terms of civics in the classroom.
That's fantastic. You know, civic engagement is a topic that I like to bring up on the show a lot, mm-hmm. because, it's critically important to how we engage with our world and shape our world, right? Mm-hmm. And I know that traditional school, like sometimes you don't really learn, that's not really a commonly learned or taught thing. I know in my school experience, that's not an area I became very well versed in until later in college. So
right.
I think it's great that you guys are helping to implement civic education programs in schools at a younger age, because it's the younger you learn to be engaged and how you should think about getting engaged, the better.
Well, and that civics education went through a time period where it was not taught in schools. I mm-hmm. can remember, I'm old enough that I took civics class in my high school experience here in Spokane, but it was dropped from curriculums for about 30 years until it was brought back, I would say roughly 7-8 years ago, as a civics being required to be taught, but it could be taught as part of a social studies class.
Mm-hmm.
So it might get maybe a couple of days, a week, but this standalone class is for a semester and goes into depth in both federal as well as state government and even looking at tribal governments. So it's a pretty comprehensive look at civics and then how to be engaged in civics.
Oh, fantastic. That sounds like a very important course and good thing to be implementing in schools. And,
absolutely.
And I think one thing to be proud of in Washington, I know Washington just recently got ranked like number one state to live in this year again for the, I think, the period of 2020. I'd have to go back to look at the details, but one of the main factors in that was our education. And I think that's something to be proud of, and I think it's really cool that you know, your organization is involved in enhancing education. And I mean, it's a really cool thing about being in Washington and you guys being of course the League of Women Voters is a large organization, mm-hmm. but the impact you're making here locally, I think, is part of that success. So,
well, thank you. Yeah. And you do mention it, we are what's known as a federated organization, and that was founded over 100 years ago. And it was founded out of the women's suffrage movement to get the vote. And it was the league actually was born, if you will, the organization formed about 6 months before the final passage of the 19th Amendment. And one of the reasons the suffrage groups moved to form the League of Women Voters was to finish the fight to get that final passage. Mm-hmm. And then as well as, okay, we have now just enfranchised a large swath of the population. These people are going to want to know how to vote and mm-hmm. all the aspects of participating in our democracy and our government. And so that was, the League has been a voting rights organization ever since, working on the access to the ballot as well as informed decision making about public policy issues. Because we do more, we're not just a women's organization, mm-hmm. we don't deal with just what have been classically known as women's issues, because sure. women's issues, they're all human issues is what they are. Mm-hmm. And so we do have positions in a broad variety of areas. But the number one aspect of what we're doing is the voting rights and things being looked at. Both in our state government, we just had a Democracy Lobby Week for our state. In previous years, we had been in Olympia advocating for state bills to local legislators. But, of course, it all happened virtually this year, which was mm-hmm. a totally different experience and had some really good pluses to it. We had some really nice conversations that we could set up with, you know, the lovely aspect of our Zoom meetings that we're all involved in now. So,
all right. All the fun Zoom meetings. Well, that's fascinating. And what I take away is voter education. It's been a long part of your organization's history.
Absolutely. And of course, that changes over time. And one of the really fantastic projects that our local league was involved in this last year was a ballot translation project. Because as we know, people can register to vote. They're citizens, but they still may not have English as a primary language.
Yes.
And so sometimes wading through the ballot when it's not in your primary language can be quite difficult.
It can be difficult when English is your first speaking language. I know there's been times when I've looked at ballots and not known what half of the things meant, or there's a lot more to it than going there and filling out a bubble yes or no for this person, and especially when you're voting on specific issues, because I think you're right, like some of the language is challenging even as a native English speaker, and of course there are many non-native English speakers in our community
absolutely
or important parts of our community, and yeah, it's important they be included.
And we had a team that worked with our county auditor, Vicki Dalton, and worked on making sure those ballots, we did not create an official ballot. What got created was a ballot translation. Hmm. The voter still had to vote the ballot that was in English, but they could at least put the two side by side and compare what was being said, and then find the candidates they wanted to vote for, and then hopefully it helped them understand some of the issues that might have been on the ballot as well.
Okay, so now I'm asking this out of personal, I guess, naivete, but so was that something that was not implemented beforehand? Like, so if I were a non-English speaker, or I'm somebody who's just learning English and I want to vote in local elections, what are my options as far as
well, here in Spokane, none, because none of the language groups here in Spokane meet the threshold where the ballots or other information are required to be published in those languages. And so our team leader on this project, Susan Hales, did a study and found that there were six languages deemed prevalent enough that we wanted to do these ballot translations into these six different languages. And so this was just a separate project worked on with the auditor. Vicki Dalton had expressed a need for it, and we were able to step up and help make it happen.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I learned something today. that's really important work. I mean, just how can you know what you're voting for, what your influence can be unless you know what your issues are, and how do you know that unless you can read what you're voting on? And that, I think that's something that is often taken for granted. And I know, like, if you're living in a community where you're maybe not used to being around other, like, non-English speakers, it might not even be an issue that you're aware of. Like, I wasn't, and I tend to think of myself as pretty well-informed.
Right.
But, you know, there's always
right,
something.
Exactly.
So tell us a little more about other projects you're currently working on. And, you know, what have been some of the biggest projects or achievements you've had in the community here? What are you personally proud of also?
Well, I think the things that we've been able to accomplish in the last few years related to the voter services that we've been able to help provide have been good. And I think one of the projects that we're just getting geared up more on is working on and making sure people understand and participate in the Spokane County redistricting for the Board of County Commissioners. That is due to move from 3 commissioners to 5 commissioners. And so there has to be a redistricting process because right now currently we have only 3 districts, and the county needs to now be divided into 5. And then there will be 5 separate races that will then create a Board of County Commissioners that will have 5 commissioners on it instead of the current 3. Mm. And so that's a project we're gearing up for now, because the redistricting committee that will draw those new lines is through the first initial process of appointing the committee members, and they are looking to appoint a 5th non-voting member that will facilitate their work.
I see. And so with redistricting, this can have a pretty significant impact on how our community is represented.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So, well, how does it work? If you could tell us more about like the purpose of redistricting and how that can be helpful, or how, I know sometimes it can maybe make things more complicated as far as...
Well, it's all about the maps and looking at maps.
Right,
and
right.
Anyone out there who is wonky about maps, you can go to the county election site and find all kinds of maps that show not only the 3 districts that we have for county commissioners, but, of course, in the city of Spokane, there are 3 different districts in the city of Spokane that each elect two representatives, and then the city at large elects its county president or city president, council president, and then you know, each jurisdiction here in Spokane County is set up a little bit differently, but for the entire county, we have a board of county commissioners that runs that county level of governmental business, and they sit on up to 40 different boards and commissions that are doing work in the county for the citizens and residents of Spokane County. And it's also important for people to remember, if you live in the city of Spokane Valley or the city of Spokane or the city of Medical Lake, you are also in the county and affected by county government as well. So,
Very true. Good reminder.
Yeah. Oftentimes you'll hear people say, well, I don't live in the county. I'm in the city. But but the city is in the county. So
right,
therefore,
right.
You're in the county as well. So need to be aware of those levels of government. And, of course, other governing levels that we all deal with school boards for our various school districts throughout Spokane County, and then their water districts, their fire districts, cemetery districts. There are a lot of different districts that elect boards and officials, but the one that the focus will be on now will be the redistricting for the county. So it's about dividing up the population of the county so that the five districts have approximately the same number of people there, and then looking at where there might be communities of interest that should be considered, whether it be geographically. Pretty much historically, the county has used the Spokane River as a east-west line, and then Highway 195 forms another line for dividing things. And so it'll be looking at this a little more creatively and looking at how to divvy up the population so that we, I think one thing we need to look at is being able to take a look at how we represent both our urban residents as well as the rural residents in the county, and so that there's that representation with our county government.
That's a good point. I think this also can get quite kind of a It can be tricky to equally represent populations when you're drawing your district lines just based on geography. When, you know, I think, for example, if you are going based off of, say, like maybe the highway, well, maybe one side of the highway has a larger population belonging to like the more BIPOC communities or a lower income communities, and the other side has a higher income, and it just happens to be geographic, like, because that's how it is geographically. But then, you know, if you're not maybe mindful of where you're drawing those lines, you can not on purpose, but you can create the power imbalance and unequal representation of those communities based on your lines.
Absolutely. Right. And so we're not going into this with any preconceived ideas of where lines should be. And there's a whole lot of map looking at and figuring out where there are communities that may need some different representation. And so it'll be interesting to see how this process unfolds. And the community should know that they can have once our committee is set up and running, they will be having public hearings so people can comment and say, well, we think we should have XYZ, whatever it is people are interested in. And it's the committee's job to take those comments under advisement and look at how the numbers pan out, and then where the lines could be. So.
Sounds great. Well, I will definitely be interested in following up on this issue. But again, all very important work.
Okay. I think.
So, so I'm going to switch gears a little bit here. And there's something that I was kind of curious about, since I'll be honest, I recently learned about the existence of the League of Women Voters. But of course, you've been around for over 100 years as an organization.
Right, and the League has been in Spokane since 1948.
Since 1948. Okay, well, that does answer one of my questions I was going to pose. So that's perfect. So 1948, so that's still a pretty long time to be as an active organization in Spokane. And I am curious, you know, what your thoughts are about the history of the organization and what can we learn from what your organization has done throughout the past 100 years and the different issue areas that you've worked on as an organization. What have we learned? What are the biggest achievements or projects that the League of Women Voters has engaged with over the last 100 years, and what have we learned, and what do we still need to learn?
Well, I think some of the things that in thinking of at the national level of the organization in terms of moving forward and moving into initially some of the issues they focused on did more affect women and children and some labor law and that kind of thing. And then they moved through the McCarthy era with a very strong voice there as well. And then I think for the League itself, for a while, went off and in a multitude of directions. We have the way the League works is that we do studies on issues and in looking at environmental issues, education issues, social policy, dealing with anything from criminal justice to housing and homelessness issues, healthcare. And then environmental issues have been a big one that the League has also been involved on, and particularly in the state of Washington, dealing with issues that center around the Growth Management Act and for statewide issues. And so some of this has, and so you have a large team dealing with various different aspects, because no one person can deal with all of that.
Of course.
And then, but the primary goal of the League is working on the democracy issues and the voting issues. And so that's been an attempt to really focus on that and to learn to prioritize what we need to be working on. And so we're looking at those priorities as well, yet knowing that not everyone is going to work on that as well, but pulling that into what each of our different topic area, issue area groups are working on. One of the things that we have become very painfully aware of is dealing with our own history in terms of lack of diversity, and then taking a look as an organization, how can we add that diversity, equity, and inclusion lens to everything that we do, and begin working through that aspect. And that is being a big focus of the entire organization right now, to bring that awareness to what many people will look at and say, well, it's just a group of old white-haired ladies at this point. And it's not. We do have a broader membership. Men have been members of the organization since 1974. And we've had many men that have served in leadership positions with the League, and are very much contributing members to the organization. We in Spokane last year started a student ambassadors program. So we have a small but growing group of students that are carrying out this type of mission work in terms of looking at the access to voting and that kind of thing within their age group. And we're talking high school, college age students. And so that's been an exciting thing to kind of look at how that's changing. So yeah, is there more there that I didn't get? There's probably more I haven't gotten to, but.
I'm just curious to hear whatever you think is important to share about your experience and everything you're doing. So
No. Well, our local league is focusing on some other areas besides the voter education. We do have some standing program committees that are working very much with housing and homelessness and how that's impacting our city and county residents. Also a criminal justice committee, an environmental issues committee. We're going to be taking a look here at the new sustainability action plan that the city of Spokane is supposed to be getting out momentarily and a beginning draft. We have a group working on healthcare issues, and then, as I said, the Spokane County government issues. So
fantastic. Yeah. Well, you guys can have hands in all areas of
Well, because people come to, we are a multi-issue organization, mm-hmm. even though we have a lead strong priority with the democracy mm-hmm. voting aspect. And that's important to make things happen in all of these other arenas that the group has studied. And so then what out of the studies that the group, that we do as a group, positions. We write it's more of a philosophical position statement. Mm-hmm. And then when there is a certain thing that we want to take action on, then we can turn that into an action statement that will either support or oppose particular pieces of legislation or action within our own community or within the state. We have a very active lobby team at the state level that affects and testifies at hearings and helps push legislation through that coincides with the positions that we have.
Fantastic. Well, I think this has all been very informative, and I'm trying to think if I had any other last points that I wanted to ask, but no, you've done a fantastic job.
One of the questions you'd asked me initially is about challenges.
Yes.
Of course, one of the things that the league has done for years and years, we always out there being one of many different groups registering people to vote who mm-hmm. are eligible to be registered. But the next step is making sure they then vote.
Yes.
And so working on the various ways of getting out the vote, explaining the ballot, that kind of thing, and helping restore confidence in our voting process. Right. And we just learned in the meeting that we had a couple weeks ago, our Secretary of State, Kim Wyman, spoke and said that the state of Washington had a 100% rating on their voting process here in this state. And so
really?
I think it's and I'm sorry, I wish I could remember who gave us that, but it was a prestigious enough background. Mm-hmm. And then came in very highly ranked on another one as well. Mm-hmm. And I know that our Secretary of State, as well as our local auditors, are constantly got a lot of calls from around the country mm-hmm. how to run mail-in voting because
yes.
we have been doing it so successfully here in Washington for some time. And but they're always looking for improvements. So there's always legislation to look at to improve the processes and make sure that everyone who's eligible to gets registered and then mm-hmm. can cast their ballot mm-hmm. and that it gets counted
yes.
in the way they wanted it to. So,
yeah, no, that, you know, I think thinking now, of course, with this past year with the elections, it has been an incredibly active year of talking about voting mm-hmm. and the efficacy of the voting system. And I think it's something that maybe previously a lot of people may have taken for granted. You know, you think you go to the poll, you fill out your ballot, and it gets counted. And you know, that's kind of just a very basic generic understanding of how voting works. But if anything, this past year with the elections and all the misinformation about mail-in voting and, you know, whether it's voting fraud, et cetera, has brought a lot of attention to the fact that a lot of people don't really understand how the voting process works.
You're absolutely right.
You know, that faith in the system, I think, is a huge factor in determining whether people go to the polls or not. Because if you don't understand how the system works and you're being told that, you know, your vote may be misrepresented or not counted, you may just be not motivated to even vote at all. And that's a huge obstacle that I think it was really brought to light this year with everything that happened.
And we have a very good process here, and we know that our elections office here in Spokane County is open. There are opportunities to be able to schedule tours, to be able to see how they actually do this, and to see all of the checks and balances that they have going on in there, mm-hmm. to know that that they are meeting their goal of making sure the vote is accessible and that it is accurately counted. So
sure, absolutely. Well, yes, that I didn't know that was something you could do. I think that's really interesting, and hopefully.
Yeah, you would need to call the elections office to see how they set those up. We have done it as a group, and I don't know beyond that how else they do it. But I know that they're always eager to share just what it is they're doing. So, mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing that information. That's mm-hmm. A great thing to know, and you know, definitely be able to take advantage of if you're curious to learn about how the local voting system works and want to be more involved and engaged in it. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that. And I have one last kind of question that kind of circles back to what we were saying earlier. You brought this up when you mentioned diversity and mm-hmm. How you're trying to build that for the organization. I kind of chuckled at this, but you said there's, you know, maybe a little bit of an age gap between most of the people who are active in the League of Women Voters today, as well as, I don't know, is there a racial diversity issue in the organization that I don't know, but locally at least?
Well, like, I don't think there's been any data gathering on those particular parameters, but I think, you know, when you're at the conventions and that kind of thing, you see, you know, pieces of diversity, but would certainly like to feel more of that, and mm-hmm. but also knowing that any one particular group would represent its community as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Spokane itself doesn't have a high amount of what we would call the racial diversity,
sure,
but there's
sure.
all kinds of diversity we're always looking at, whether it's, we've touched a little bit on age, we've touched on racial diversity. Well, obviously there's income, there's abilities to do thing. I mean, there's just a lot of different diversity, and working to pull all that together so that we expand not only the organization, but then how we work towards issues as well, and making sure we're using that lens that, you know, I think we talked about, so that we don't have some unintended consequences things. And of course, you never know when, because they were unintended consequences.
Yes.
And trying to be sensitive to mm-hmm. that.
Of course. So. And it's a tricky issue. It's a delicate area.
Absolutely.
How you frame it, how you approach it and approach outreach. I think that's a super tricky area to work in, but very important one. So, I'm just curious, kind of to wrap up what your thoughts are about the future of the organization, and like, how can more people? Why should more people know about the organization, and what can we do to raise people's awareness of who you are and what you're doing and reach out to that broader
scope. Well, we keep trying to work on that too, and it's sometimes always hard. Really hard to be out and toot your own horn on things. Mm-hmm. And but obviously we do have a website that people can go to, lwvspokane.org, real simple. And and get more information about the organization there. And the organization is open for membership. Anyone, any person 16 years of age or more may join as a voting member. Anyone else could be an associate member. That's certainly there for people who are interested. We welcome people to participate, try it out for a while. You don't have to plunk down membership dues like right away. I mean, we want you to make sure that it's something that would you would find a niche for. I mean, we've got there everything from out there doing the work or just figuring out some of the background policy type of things. There are different ways to be involved in the organization. And some people stay focused locally, and some will then focus to the state level, because our state board comes from members from around the state who come from local leagues. You join at the local level. Mm-hmm. And so that's but, yeah. Check out the website. There is a Facebook page with the same handle, LWV Spokane, and follow what's going on there. We try to repost and post things that are happening here as well as at our state level. And, of course, you know, we're supporting legislation at national, state, and local level. So
awesome. So Facebook and maybe I'll make up a TikTok dance or.
Oh, well, yeah. I need someone to help me with that. That would not be where I would be. But but anyway.
So many platforms to spread to. But
right.
Yeah. Well, that's great to hear. Thank you for sharing that with us again. So there you go. If you're interested in learning more about the League of Women Voters, go ahead and check out their website. And then you have a Facebook page, of course. And, I'm sure there'll be a lot more to follow up with and stay in tune with as far as what your organization is doing and all the issue areas that you're working on. And definitely something to watch out for. So
okay.
I appreciate you being on the air with us today.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Federica, and have enjoyed visiting with you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for sharing everything with us today and your time. And hopefully we'll be in touch soon, and I'll be on the lookout for everything you all are accomplishing in the community.
Okay.
And, we'll be in touch.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Listeners, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back with you next week at 3 p.m. Have a wonderful weekend.